The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, hello there, great minds and thinkers. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another episode of I Can Help. It's a show about small business, entrepreneurs, inventions. We talk about patents, business plans, financial lending, almost anything to do with small business and inventions. And I'm Mark the Spark. I'm your host. And I come to you every Saturday night from 8 to 8:30 p.m. And we're on The Answer San Diego. And you can find us on the radio dial at 1170 a.m. reaching down to Tijuana. And on 96.1 FM reaching all the way up to Long Beach. We are KCBQ. And we're broadcasting from the Golden Triangle in beautiful La Jolla, California. We're streaming worldwide, and we can be found on all major podcasts like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, Amazon Music, Radio Public, Stitcher, CastBox, and my favorite, iHeart, and also The Answer. Just search I Can Help. And we come to you every Saturday night, and we talk about small business. And on the first Saturday of every month, I give away a radio, an AM, FM radio. And it's a very nice radio. If you was to see this radio on Amazon, it can run you about $99. And I give it away from a drawing from the emails. And you can email me at markthespark.org. And this week, one of our sponsors is Ben, and he's here in the studio today.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Great, great. Glad you're here, Ben. And in just a few minutes, we're going to get to talk about your businesses. Ben is quite an entrepreneur. I know I call him my mentor, and he says, hey, I didn't ask for that. I don't blame him.
That is a big job.
And also in the studio is Pam. She's here today. And Pam, you say hello. And Pam also does some business lending. She has a company called I Lend Girl. It does sound like Island Girl, and Pam is from Hawaii. And in a little while, if she'd like to speak, she certainly is welcome to. Okay, Pam? And I'd like to just read a couple of emails that I got before I go on to our sponsors. And one email came in from a person named Jared. I don't give out any last names. And he asks, it's a question that always gets asked, how do you start a business? Well, generally, I would say you start with a plan. You need to make a business plan, and perhaps you've heard some of my previous shows where I mentioned without a plan, you're a ship in the ocean without a captain. You might go to the right, you might go to the left. You may go forward, but you may go backwards. You're going to need a plan, and it's going to be hard to get around not doing one. And it's not really that hard once you get a couple under your belt. And there are plenty of formats that you can find, such as from the Small Business Administration. And also there's an organization called SCORE, S-C-O-R-E. And they will help you with a business plan. Also, licenses. You're going to have to start right off with probably your tax, a fictitious business name, and you will need to kind of decide if you're going to be a sole proprietor or will you be an LLC, or you're probably not going to start out an Inc. because that requires a full board, and I believe you'll report to the state. I think it's twice a year. Also, when starting a business, I would suggest a mentor. You heard me joke about it just a few minutes ago. But it's so important, And even a person my age still has a mentor. And it might sound kind of funny, but it's more or less an educated person that you can bounce ideas off them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be a teacher. It's someone who can give you a good advice. And then leading right into my second question, which is from a lady named Maria in Chula Vista, and she mentions that, how do you get a mentor? Well, I would first suggest what I mentioned earlier, which was SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives. You can find them right on the web, and you'll get a mentor just for asking. And then my third email is a very good one. It's about branding. And how do you do branding? Well, that a lot depends on the entrepreneur themselves. They have to be creative. And there's plenty of courses that you can take on branding. One little suggestion I might give is Fiverr, F-I-V-E, I believe it's double R. They do logos and branding, and it's usually artists starting out, and you can get a reasonable price on that. And before we get to our episode sponsor today, I would like to mention three seasonal sponsors, and I'll give their phone numbers at the end so you'll have a chance to get a pen and pencil, pen and paper. There's nothing worse, I think, when you hear a radio show and at the end they just rattle off all the sponsors at the end. You can't even make sense. And on the I Can Help show with Mark the Spark, I don't do that with my sponsors. You get noticed. And my first sponsor is Rich Phillips Auto, 7105 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego. And my second seasonal sponsor is Art World on 1266 Broadway in El Cajon. And my third seasonal sponsor is Biz for Christ. And it was Entrepreneurs for Christ. They did change their name to Biz for Christ. And they're a wonderful organization that talks about business, and they all believe in Christ. And I'll give the phone numbers at the end, so if you want to contact any of these organizations. And I will give a shout-out to Marco Polo, BMW in La Jolla, for all your BMW needs. So today, in the studio, I'm so happy to have Benjamin, and I may call you Ben.
Yeah,
and fine. Benjamin is a multi-talented entrepreneur, and I've heard his story. He can tell you kind of a rags-to-riches story. And I know he has multiple, let's call it, irons in the fire. He had an invention. He has another invention for a golf club. And I know he has Art World, which I've been in. And when I went in, Benjamin, my chin hit the floor. I had never seen so many paintings and artwork and beautiful paintings. And then you told me about that gentleman, Olaf, how famous he is, and you have several of his paintings.
Right.
And I don't know, could you just kind of tell us, I guess, well, how you got started, and is art a good investment?
Well, that's a good question.
It's probably two questions but
and that's okay. We can handle both.
I'm sure you can.
When I got started in the art gallery business, more than, I started back in 1978. 76 I started, but we really got started in the professional art end of it. We were in the decorative art business, and that was where we were buying paintings and selling them at convention centers. We'd go in and we would advertise and we'd promote and put them on television, and people would come in by the hundreds and buy these paintings. It was called decorative art.
Okay? Decorative art.
Decorative art. Mm-hmm. And we would have a truck. We would have anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 paintings, decorative art paintings. These were paintings that were not investment-type paintings, but they were done by professional people, but they were not investment-type paintings.
They were for your house.
They were for decorating your home, like if you go out and buy a picture or whatever to hang in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that for about 3 years. We did, several million dollars doing that.
Because you wouldn't want to hang a collectible item in your house, would you? I mean, is that why you have decorative art?
Well, I'm not sure that question fits my, because
you do.
Most of the people I sell to today right now buy investment art.
Mm-hmm.
We've elevated our company to the level of buying paintings that increase in value over a period of time. But does that always happen? No, it doesn't always happen. There are many stages of fine art, okay? There's the beginning stage when a person buys a painting or an artist's painting that fits into the category of, say, $100 to $300, $400, $500, even $1,000. But then there's another stage where artists have acquired a reputation of the quality of their work, the style of their work. And quite honestly, they've done a lot of marketing and promoting. And so individual people, they start connecting to them and they start buying their paintings. That's what happened to Olaf Weghorst.
Mm-hmm.
Olaf Weghorst started, knew Olaf very, very well. And we have his paintings at our gallery.
I've seen.
But we started with Olaf Weghorst when he was just selling $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. And later on, we were selling his paintings for $100,000 to $200,000.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah. Well, if you were going to start a collection, I mean, how would you go about it?
Well, you know, I've always, you know, the good book says that knowledge is power, right?
Right. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. And most people buy art based on what they like.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them all the time, don't buy based on what you like. Why don't you go do knowledge finding and go out and look for many, many different artists. And then of those artists, the good ones, the mm-hmm. one, the investment type, out of those, then you select from those. And that's what I did.
I see. Now, you and your wife, Helen, you traveled, didn't you, and bought art?
A lot. Yeah.
And so how would you know what to buy? Now, I know you say you need to gain knowledge.
Right.
But I imagine that's a big field, the art field.
Well, we still do, but not like we used to because of the internet and everything else has changed the whole scope of the art world.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do art shows, and they would do them at convention centers where they would get 30, 40, 50 artists that would come, and they would put up their paintings, and then people from all around would come, and they'd go in, and they would buy their paintings, like the Cowboy Artists of America.
I see.
Okay? And they would have a big show over in Phoenix, and we would go over there, and they'd be like maybe 200 paintings,
mm-hmm.
and they would have 3,000 or 5,000 people come.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And those people would come in and literally actually bid on those paintings. And then paintings that were on a wall, let's say that you got a painting on the wall, let's say by Olaf Weghorst, they would have 300 people drop their name in a box to be drawn to get that painting.
Wow.
So, yeah. And many times that's how artists got the names of people that wanted to buy their paintings. And
I
so
see.
And then they would paint a painting and they would call those people and they'd buy the paintings.
See, I had no idea that the art world was that popular.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yes.
that many yeah. people go to a convention
yeah.
To buy.
Many of the great, great, great art collections in America today, most of the public have zero ideas.
Uh-huh.
People like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and those guys have letters, just actual letters,
uh-huh.
individual letters that they paid $30-40 million just for a letter.
Unbelievable!
Yeah.
That is just totally breathtaking.
Yeah.
And speaking of breathtaking, we're going to take a little break right
sure,
now, halftime.
Sure.
I get a little drink of water, and we'll be right back with the second half of the I Can Help show. And we're here with Benjamin and Pam, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to I Can Help with Mark the Spark, the show made for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. Mark would like to hear from you directly, so please email any questions or comments you have to info@markthespark.org. You can also visit his website at markthespark.org. That's markthespark.org. If you're interested in sponsoring the show so you can talk about your business, please reach out to Mark. You can always find him at info@markthespark.org. He may even address your question on the air. That's info@markthespark.org.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the I Can Help Show. Once again, I'm Mark the Spark. We're on KCBQ, 1170 AM, but I bet you knew that, 96.1 in the North County. And we're talking to entrepreneur Benjamin, and his art collection is one thing. And we'll talk in a few minutes about an invention that he has. But right now we're talking about Art World, that is his business, and how to purchase art, and also how to make money from purchasing an art. Believe that it can be a better investment than the stock market, especially if you're in the stock market right now. Okay, so where do we leave off, Benjamin? How do you know what to buy in art? I know you said knowledge is key.
Yeah.
But you would what, go around?
Well, once you what you do is you go to the Western art shows, or you go to shows that represent artists who either represent themselves or represented by a gallery or someone else. Mm-hmm. And then when you go, you gather knowledge about them, and then you see what the prices of their paintings are. And then you decide the ones that you like, and then you start gathering information about those artists, and then you keep track of their prices, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of the name of the gentleman. I think his name was J. Paul Getty, the J. Paul Getty Museum. I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
But J. Paul Getty said, I've never bought a painting that I didn't like, and I never paid the price for a painting that I wasn't happy with. Now, what does that mean? It means that he bought art that he liked, but he bought paintings for $100, $50, $1,000, $50,000, $100,000, whatever. And he has one of the most prestigious art galleries in America today, up in Los Angeles. And individual people will go there, and that's a place that you go and you see the artists that are represented. And those are the individuals you gather knowledge and information so that whenever you get ready to make a purchase, you've seen that artwork and you like it, and then you go doing studies until you find it. A gentleman by the name of Dan May from May Gallery in Phoenix told me 40 years ago,
wow.
He said, if you will buy of the top 20 artists, this is really important. He said, if you will go out and do research of the top 20 artists in the field that you want to buy, mine was Western art. There's all types of art,
mm-hmm.
but mine was Western art. He said, if you will go and check out the top 20, and out of those, buy the paintings by 5 a year. In 30 years, you will have over $1 million art collection.
Amazing.
And today, I did that. That's exactly what I did. I have over 200 paintings in my collection, but of that, it's over $2.5 million.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I know, when I walked into your place, like I said, my chin hit the floor.
Yeah.
I never seen so many and beautiful paintings.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you, is how do you find a gallery that you can trust? You mentioned, you know, doing your research, going to different galleries and all, but and the amount of money you're talking is can get pretty well up there. So how can you find a gallery that you can trust?
Well, I think, you know, a friendship is built over a lifetime. The character of that person is what you build that friendship on.
I see.
And if you go to an art gallery and you go into them and you start developing and building a relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
and you start working with them,
mm-hmm.
and then over a period of time, you take the artist, the paintings that they carry in their gallery, and then you go do your research on them.
I see.
Always, always do research.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you gather knowledge, and then, you know, God says my people suffer for the lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get the knowledge, and then once you get the wisdom, which comes from God too, but once you get knowledge and wisdom of what to buy, when to buy, how to buy, all that stuff, then it's real easy to make a decision to buy a painting.
Mm-hmm.
See, like I just received an original Olaf Mikros painting that came to me that has a value of about $75,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that painting is available right now at about, I'd probably sell it at $50,000, but not less than that. Why? Because it has a true value of $75,000, but the market right now dictates that it would probably go in the neighborhood of $50,000.
I see.
So once you have that knowledge and understand that, then mm-hmm. it's easy to make a $50,000 investment.
Oh, I see. So there's quite a bit to it.
Yeah.
But I see your strategy and how you did it all. And I certainly want to commend you. You did wonderful. Take my hat off to you.
One of the most fun things you will ever get involved in is fine art.
Fine art.
You never, never go someplace in any city that's a large city that you won't have a place to go and see something beautiful.
I see. That's so So interesting. I know my mother dabbled in it. She did oil paintings and that, and she occasionally would go to sell one, and she was so attached, she wouldn't sell it. Now, I know this is just a wonderful thing, and I will give all your phone number and address at the end. But in addition to Art World, you're quite a golfer, and I'm above average golfer from what I've heard. And I believe you have an invention, or you invented some type of putter for the golf world. Can you elaborate?
The Art World that I've been involved with since 1976, we go through stages where it's up and down, just like anything else. Mm-hmm. But I started a company I was working with Point Loma College doing charity golf events. And we started doing what we call charity tournaments, where we were raising money for nonprofit organizations and helping children and underprivileged children, et cetera, and helping them to be able to come to college and help them support them while they come to college. So we did that at Point Loma College, and I started the company called USA Golf Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we started
.com.
USAGolfMasters.com. And over the period of years, we raised over $1 million with them.
Wow.
Yeah, we raised a lot of money. We did over 800 charity golf tournaments and raised a lot of money for charity. It was really important. But I found that the focus was not the money. The focus was helping other people. And here's what I've learned in my life. If you will focus your attention, if you will focus your life on helping other people with a purpose, everything has to have a purpose. Once you have a purpose in what you're doing, then the money has a tendency to follow that.
I see.
It's kind of interesting.
It sure is.
And so we developed a putter just recently, just to finish this up real quick. We developed a putter called the Masters Putter. And traditional putting is where you stand side to the ball. And our putters are designed for face-on putting, facing the target and putting directly aiming at the target. And it's quite interesting how that works. The USGA now has given us worldwide approval to sell our putters.
Unbelievable.
And in order to get that, it's a really big deal.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Can you describe the putter a little bit? Now, you told me you hit it straight on.
Yeah. Well, what you do is you focus at the hole. Mm-hmm. You stand staring at the hole. And then you take the putter and you set it down to the side on the side of your right foot or the side of your left foot if you're left foot. And then you take it and you hold it with your left hand, your right hand down the shaft, and you pull it straight back, straight through, and at your target. Traditional putting, when you pull the putter back, it does never go back straight back.
I see.
Okay, it's always open. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the reason I feel that I'm qualified is because I used to carry a +5 handicap. And I played, and I was going on the PGA Tour. I had everything all set to do that. And so I've been involved in the fine parts of the golf world and sponsored a young man for 3.5 years on the tour. So we've been there, done that, okay? Mm. And I worked with people like Scott Simpson and Craig Stadler, and I played with Gene Litter and all those guys. And I won the Tournament of Champions. Okay.
I know. You're not a bragger.
No, no, no.
But you do have a lot of accomplishments.
I've done it because I was willing to work hard, and I was willing to do what other people won't do. And that's the secret of success. You got to be willing to do what other people won't do.
And work hard. And it seems like you have a big heart. You've raised a lot for charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how you said that kind of when you do that, other good things can follow along.
It's all biblical.
Yes. And do you still golf now?
I just got back. I took my wife to Hawaii for her birthday.
Oh, yeah. I heard. In fact, Pam in the studio right now is from Hawaii.
Yeah, that's great.
And you told me that you stayed on Diamond Head.
Well, the young lady that we went there owns the largest wedding service in America. She does over between 300 and 500 weddings a month.
Oh, my word.
And and that's another story. But she has a home right on the tip of Diamond Head. And it's about 4,000, it was a big house.
Uh-huh.
And so my wife and I, we had the pleasure of having a room in her home. And and we enjoyed it.
Wonderful. Now, do you golf in Hawaii?
Yeah, I went. I golfed with a former senator.
No kidding.
Hawaii, yeah.
And I know, didn't you mention that once was a golf course, and then now it's, a nine-hole?
Makaha. It was bought when I was there. Remember Makaha? I was out on the North Shore. Not on the North Shore, but on the by Waipahu. But anyway, it was a beautiful, unbelievable track. But now you go there, and there's homes, hundreds of homes in there, and they went in there and messed up my golf course.
Terrible. Now, San Diego has a lot of golf courses.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Used to have 127. Now it's down to under 100.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Ben, for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Telling us about your entrepreneurial experiences and many things we can learn from you.
Yeah, thank you.
On how to get started in your entrepreneurial business. And Pam, also, I'm glad for you stopping in. And you'll be able to talk about your business at another time. You do lending. She has a company called iLendGirl. And in conclusion, I'd just like to mention our seasonal sponsors for the last time. It's Rich Phillips Auto, 7105 El Cajon Boulevard. And his phone number is 619-463-3315. And our second seasonal sponsor is Art World at 1266 Broadway in El Cajon, and their phone number is 619-440-1041. And the last seasonal sponsor is Biz for Christ. They do not have a phone number, but their website is Biz for Christ, and they meet Sunday mornings above the Skyline Church from 8 to 9. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. It means so much to me. I'm Mark the Spark. I'm on every Saturday night from 8 to 8:30. You can find me on KCBQ, The Answer San Diego. And as you know, we're 1170 AM and we're 96.1 PM in the North County. So please tune in every Saturday night. Hopefully you've had something good to eat. You got the radio going on in the background and you can listen to an entrepreneurial story called I Can Help. Thank you so much. Mark the Spark saying goodbye. Good night.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.